Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
Amen, amen. I see my sister is on, so we can begin. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou kingdom to come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father, we come to you on this hour, thanking you, Father, for the blessing of this prayer line. And dear Lord, I thank you so much to see Sister Powell on the line. Lord, the first one on the line, Father. And Lord, I'm coming giving you thanks because what you have done. Lord, as I watched Alex Nation this morning, Lord, seeing the blessing and what he's asking, how we should just be on board to support that community and what the work is doing. Such a young man, Lord Father, only 18 years old, have the zeal to do the work of God in the community. Lord, we lift him up to you, Father, because what he is doing and what Sister Power is doing in that community, Lord, all we can say is thank you. And this prayer line, Father, it's being known that Advent Light, because Sister Power has presented Advent Light to them. So thank you, Father, for this prayer line, and that when people come on here to share, Lord Father, I pray, Father, for each and every one that they glorify you and that they will keep the word of the Lord in their mouth and sharing it with brothers and sisters. And as I hosting on this prayer line, Father, I'm asking you to be with me as the host, and I'm asking that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask him that Jesus is our teacher, our master. He's our Savior, and that he's leading and guiding us and helping us, Lord, to love one another and to lift up one another on this prayer line. So, Lord, be with us tonight. Touch each and every heart. Lord, allow them to come and share their testimonies. And all testimony shows that Christ is working in our life, because it's nothing that we doing of ourselves, but it's the Lord and his blessings that are causing these things. So thank you, Father, for all these blessings. And as you bless my sister there in Jamaica with protection and safety and also spreading that gospel, Father, as I have seen on the video. So I'm thanking you for all these blessings. And we asking that you bring the people out, Lord, to share, to come on the prayer line, because our brother will bring us the good news. So thank you once again as we do pray. Now we ask in, Lord, that you bless your word and also bless each and every one of us as we are sharing. And we thank you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And my sister, I'm going to read a scripture. And I'm asking that you will press one and you can begin to speak, because I know you have a lot to talk about. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read the scripture. I'm reading from Matthew's chapter 4, and I wanted to begin at verse 4, and I will read down to verse 10. It said, but he answered and said, I can go up to 4. You know the scripture. Well, let's read 4. Then Jesus was led up in the spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after a hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then the devil taking him up into the holy city and seated him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taking him up and to an exceeding high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Oh, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, this reading here is one reading that we shall learn what the whole Bible says. And I will open the line for my sister, 518.
All right.
Your line is open. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from sunny Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica. I'm so grateful tonight that I was able to connect with my brothers and sisters, in which I miss you all, but I thank you for praying. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. I must share some praise report. God is so good. As you read this chapter a while ago, Sister Leola, it is telling us how the devil is so fierce, right? The devil knew that Jesus was doing his fasting for 40 days. And the devil knew that Jesus was hungered. And the devil thought that he was able to fool Jesus because of his hungry. First, he used bread, right? Mm-hmm. Food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Appetite, right? And we are so thankful that we have a Savior can show us that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a faithful servant, a servant who never sinned. But the enemy was trying to steal him away. The ever enemy wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him. But thank God for the victory that his Father allowed him, that he was not able to be tempted in none of those three temptation that the devil placed upon him. So we have to be very careful. And I have to be very careful because the devil comes down like a roaring lion and he is always there to destroy and also devour. So if we do not keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus' words, you know, that is the only strength we are going to get now in this serious time that we are living in. But I just want to thank God for the words, Sister Leola. And also, I just want to thank God for the good news. I am telling you, sister, the individual, the people, the children, the neighbors, the community, the church people, everyone is so blessed and feeling very, very happy for what the Lord has done. Children are coming up. Men who you did not expect would visit church, got themselves dressed, Sabbath, and come to church, you know, that he gave me a surprise. I am even doing some counseling for a marriage. And Sister Leola, God is good. So I'm asking you, I'm just doing it short. I am asking you to remember these individuals in prayer. You know, but we have some Nelson, a family, will be seeking and searching. He was searching for the truth, and eventually God have placed me here to deliver the message to them and also to lead them into the truth. Sabbath, you know, they're always worshiping on a Sunday. I also have a Sunday keeper. She's even there. Today she has her little congregation, not a Sabbath, a Sunday. And eventually she came over and we were sharing the word of God. And she told me she knows the Sabbath, and the Lord is going to beat her because she's not following the commandment of God. After studying with her, she decided that she will be coming to church with me Sabbath coming, and that she is going to be obedient to God's commandment. So I introduced the Sabbath to her, gave her a book for her to study about the Sabbath, and also to share with her little congregation, her little group. So I'm asking you to continue to lift up Sister Coombs, you know, that she will deliver the message that God have given unto her. So far, Sister Leola, I can say that 4 people decided to give them life to the Lord. So we're just going to pray, we just with studying and the kindness and, you know, what God have done for them, right? So they give their, totally surrender their life and want to give God the praise that has done for them. Now the praise report is that last two weeks, we went to Guy's Hill to meet our grandchildren, Alex, and the team. And my dear Sister Leola, it was a pleasant day moment. We went that they were going to do the casting, but eventually they did not. But I went with a team, and the team went up to the house of Alex, and you know, we saw him with mother and his son and his brother, where the mother gave us a tour with her chicken farm, in which he has around 118 little baby chicks, right? And she is a farmer also. Alex, them were there. And my dear, they took us to the site, and after we went to the site, no, before they took us to the site, his little bike rider who drive him, to ride him around, you know, as I reach up, he said, Auntie, how you doing? I said, good, and I were talking. He said, Auntie, I just impressed, I want you to pray for me. And before I reach up to Alex's mother, I prayed for that young man, guidance, and I see how, you know, he is so willing by helping Alex go around on that little bike, Sister Leola, driving Alex. And if you saw how they brought in coconut, pear, banana, sugar on that bike for us to take as a gift, I said, boy, God is really good. So God have been pouring out his blessings upon Alex and Bill Williams' house. We went up to the house top, not me, the guys them, and they tied the steel, and they do. We were there till around 6 o'clock. We left there. We met Sophia. We met Mr. Williams. We met some members from the church. We also met Ricardo and the wife, and you know, I was able, you know, to give Ricardo a little study, you know, about teaching him a little about the stove and the kitchen, because I really think that they need a kitchen on the house. So God is going to open out his blessings upon them so that they will do it. So, Sister Leola, I am telling you, everything is working out. God has been providing. He has been making a way. He has been supplying. And is not only the physical, but also the spiritual food is going out like a wildfire. So I'm asking you, please, to remember me in prayer, that God will keep me and he will allow me with the strength with the other team, and that we will able to continue the work that he wants us to do. And I said, my nieces, Sister Leola, oh boy, and nephew, they are so helpful, and, you know, auntie this, auntie that, and they are behind me 100%. So I am not alone, and I have help. So continue to pray for Mr. Saliola, and I will lift up this group in prayer every minute and every hour. Thank you for hearing, my dear beloved. Sister Powell is doing well, and I say thank you again for prayer. I will just stop now, make somebody else hear.
Amen. Amen. We are so happy to hear from you, Sister Powell. And first of all, I want to just tell my brothers and sisters, if we can just do $10, $5, what I do is I send it to Sister Powell's daughter. I don't have to send it, and I don't have to send money like check or nothing like that. I just send it to her Cash App it or something like that. But if you can just Cash App or send something to help out anybody, if you can send anything to help out, he's not asking for, but $5, $10 adds up, and that would help to support the team there. And God is able. And you know what? We always, if we have that little change to do, God will bless. He will give the increase. And it is such a blessing to see that young man. And you know what you do for others? Guess what? That will return back to you one day. And when you look at how you done helped somebody, and when that return to you, you're going to say, the Lord did it for them, and now he's bringing it to me because I gave that hand, and now it's returned to me. I've seen it. I know it happened. It done happened to me, people I know. So God is so good. He will give you your blessing. So I want to thank Sister Powell for coming on here all the way from Jamaica. She's calling in on the prayer line. Sister Powell, I'm sorry I wasn't here on Thursday, but I got tied up. Normally I'm here, but I will try to be there next week, although I have appointments, and by God's grace, I try to make the prayer line when I can. So I just want to thank the Lord for Sister Powell's again, sisters and brothers, because truly she's doing a special work out there. And when you think about neighborhoods, and Sister Powell, I want to share today because I have a neighbor. This man had, I took him to church, my daughter and I, we took him to church with us, and he had a seizure. He was standing in the kitchen putting up his groceries. And when he was in the kitchen, he raised up, he was putting the groceries up, and all of a sudden, my sister, I call her, he just fell to the floor, she said. And all she heard is that loud noise. And when she went in there to check on him, he was in there shaking. But you know what? He had a seizure. And he took him to the doctor. He couldn't remember nothing. But he came out the hospital. He's in pain. She didn't know to put a spoon in his mouth. He had bit up his tongue. So I told him, and I said, Mr. Charlie, I'm going to pray. Ask God to show me what can I fix for you because he owned all his medicine. And I prayed, and I went search. And by God's grace, sisters and brothers, I fixed him some turmeric and a little honey. I fixed that for him, and I sent him some yogurt because he can eat yogurt, he can eat ice cream, he can eat different things. I told him if he got these things, because his tongue is all sore. It bit up, you know. So just keep him in prayer because he's 73 years old, and he's a little frail, you know. He's not thin, but he's shaky, and health is not all that strong, but I've been trying to help him. So let's just keep him in prayer also. And this is the work that God wants us to help one another. And even my sister Brenda, I coach her in some health things because some things she don't know, Sister Brenda is still learning. And I help her out, you know, and by God's grace, you know, I'm hoping she's following some of the things. And I know she do, And I'm just praying that God help her to aid her and her health. So these little things what Sister Powell is doing in Jamaica, and I know most of my sisters on here does the same thing, because Sister Carla, she gets something, she'll text me, she'll call me, or she'll share it with me. Sister, I get all these things from different Brother O'Neill. They share with one another. So this work that we are doing, brothers and sisters, is truly a blessing, because Sister Leola wouldn't know all she know without you all helping her. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to what Sister Power have taught me. And Sister Power, I want to let you know, I just had my little meatballs today. Sister Power taught me how to make meatballs and steaks and all these different. We just ate that with some red beans. So I want to thank Sister Power for her help all the way in Louisiana. Praise God. So now, brothers and sisters, we ask that you would press one and share your testimony. Amen? Yes. Oh, now we have our brothers and sisters press one. Amen. Thank you, Sister Power. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, 423-635. Your line is open.
Amen. Amen. Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola. This is Sister Carla. I am in Camden, Tennessee. I'm visiting some friends out here, and I'm just praising the Lord for country living and just how it's beautiful in the country, you know. And I've been out here since the Sabbath, just, you know, fellowshipping with them. But one of my friends, she has to go and teach a class in Texas. So, you know, I said, okay, I don't have anything to run home to, nothing to rush. So I stayed back, and I'm just thanking the Lord, just experience of what, you know, of different places and different areas, because we know a time of trouble is coming as never before. And now, you know, out here, you know, they don't have, the well is dry, so they don't have water. So, you know, even from back in Belize, I've learned how to do with minimum and do with basic, you know, water and buckets of water, or buying water and making that do for the necessity. And I just thank the Lord for that experience, because it's teaching me how, you know, to cope with what's going on and what will go on, and it will get worse as time goes. So I just thank the Lord for that, and I want to share this devotion from Our High Cause. He said, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, loneliness, meekness, and patience, Colossians 3:12. Kind words, pleasant look, and cheerful countenance throw a charm around the Christian and make his influence almost irresistible. This is a way to gain respect and extend the spirit of usefulness, which costs but little. It is the religion of Christ in the heart that caused the words issuing, therefore, to be gentle and the demeanor condescending even to those in the humblest walk of life. A blustering, fault-finding, overbearing man is not a Christian. For to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. And I have one more paragraph. He who drinks in the spirit of Christ will not let it flow forth. I'm sorry, will let it flow forth in kind words and be expressed in courteous deportment. The plan of salvation is so often, whether it's harsh and rough in the temper, and to smooth off whatever is rugged or sharp in the manner. External change will testify of an internal change. The truth is the sanctifier, the refiner received into the heart. It works with hidden power, transforming the receiver. But those who profess the truth and at the same time are rough and sour and unkind in words and deportment have not learned of Jesus. All these manifestations show that they are yet servants of the wicked one. No man can be a Christian without having the Spirit of Christ manifesting meekness, gentleness, refinement of manners. And this just struck a chord. I said, Lord, have mercy upon us. Help us to be meek, gentle, and have a refine of our character, of our manner. And I've met some rough people, and they said, oh, God made me this way. And no, God didn't make us that way. It's because of our culture, cultivated tendency to evil, because hereditary cultivated tendency to evil. That's why we are like that. But Jesus is gentle and mild, and he wants us to be like him and have his character. So I just thank you again for opening up my line to Ciliola. I won't be on too long because I have a testimony to give regarding country living, I believe, at 8 o'clock on another line. So God bless. Thank you again. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Check your phone, Sister Leola.
Yes, Sister Power. I was on mute. I try to. Oh. You're right, Sister Power. Oh. I was on mute. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Powell, for letting me know, and I kept your line open so you can, you know, I can hear you. I want to say thank you, Sister Carla, for that, because true to say that, because a lot of people say that, well, this is the way God made me, and not realizing that the Bible speaks of a change in character, and it's not the way he made you. Because when you come in this world, we as a little baby don't know to do evil, but yet a baby may do evil things, but we don't. But we, as we get to be adults, we learn a lot of evil habits. And I'm telling you, sister, when I think about, I meditate on my things, because if someone tell me. Even my sister tell me, she say, oh, you got to watch how you say things to people because I may say it harsh. And I have to think on that and then say, Lord, forgive me. But those things that we have to think about, because someone may not understand when you, it may be harsh, or it may be offense to someone, but yet, you got to, okay, just take it and turn it around and say, well, let me do better and you know, and talk to this person in a different tone. Lord, help me with this. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't think about those things. And then you just pray and ask God to help you. So, yes, I do believe that God can help you. It's no such thing that God made us this way. So thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing it with us, because we have to learn and to do better. Amen? Amen. Sister Powell, you had something you wanted to share with that? Comment on that?
Yes, Sister Leela. I come in, Sister Leela. Yes, Sister Leela. Yes, we have to know that, because God told us that is only his character is going to allow us to enter into the eternal rest. And we cannot have Christ's character when we are mean, you know, when we are harsh, when we do not love our brothers and sisters, when we do not share, you know, especially the word of God. So God is expecting for us, sister, in our nutshell, for us to be like him. And if we follow his example, I know he is willing and ready to help us with all the things that we are enduring at this time. He will help us. So if we have a mean spirit, if we be angry, if we do not love our neighbors, and if we come to him and we let him know, he is willing and just to forgive us and also to help us, that we will correct all these bad traits that we have and serve him. Yes, Sister Leela. So we can do that with his love and trust him, believe that he is able to do all things, and he will strengthen us to do it. Thanks.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Paul, for adding to that, because the character of God, that's all we can take to heaven. It's nothing else, by God's grace. So thank you. So we're going to open the next line. So we thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that with us, and may God continue to bless you as you go on the other line also sharing. So we're going to open the next line for 272-770. Your line is open. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. God bless you. It's such a blessing to hear Sister Powell's voice. We've been praying for her and lifting her up in prayer and her ministry that she is doing. And Alex Nation, I've seen her on YouTube. It was such a blessing. It brought joy to my heart and tears to my eyes. So it's such a blessing to know our sister is doing what she needs to do for the Lord with love and kindness and humbleness in her heart. So I thank you so much. And this is Sister Tymeco from Pennsylvania. And I'm just so grateful to be here on the line this evening. I just want to, if I may, give the Lord praise, honor, and glory and adoration because he is so worthy to be praised. He brought us through another week. I'm so grateful. He's always been with us the whole time. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And every appointment that I had, he gave me safe travel and mercy. So I'm just so grateful to the Lord for everything that he has done for myself, for my children, for each and every one of us on this prayer line and all of our family members. He's an awesome God. I would like to read a verse from the Bible, and if I have time, I would like to sing a song. Amen. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I have a song to sing. Faith is the victory. Amen.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle in the night, to build the glorious sky. Against the foes and fears we lost, let all our strength be held. Faith is the victory, we know that overcomes the world. Oh, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, the truth will gird above. The earth shall tremble beneath the threat and echo without a shout. Oh, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, why remnant shall be given. Before the angels he should know his name confessed in heaven. Then all across the hills of light, our hearts will love aflame. For vanish all the hosts of might in Jesus' conquering name. Oh, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glory and victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much for opening my line. My dear Sister Leola, I'd like you to lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line. Lift them up in prayer, please. And I ask that you please lift up my children and my grandchildren, my mom and everyone, the nation. Lift up the youth and all of our precious brothers and sisters on the prayer line this evening, and your family as well, and definitely Sister Powell in Jamaica, and lift up Alex Nation. So thank you so much, my dear sister. Thank you for opening my line. God bless you all. Love you all. Love you, Sister Powell, always and forever. Amen.
Thank you, my dear.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for the song. faith is the victory. Thank you. And we will definitely lift up friends and family in prayer. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. It's 985-232. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just thank God for watching over us and waking us up. We need a devotion prayer. Dear God, may my mind be focused on you, your word, and the word you speak through your sons and daughters. Father, when I speak, may my words be refreshing to those who hear. May they find guidance in the words I speak, because they are inspiring to you. They are inspired to you. May I never be guided by my own foolishness or the foolishness of another person that will only lead to sorrow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now,
amen.
Thank God, because he's worthy to be praised. And just want to thank him for blessing us for another day that we may be on our this prayer line, our brothers and sisters lifting up the Lord. And thanks for everybody being on. Those not on, we just pray that they find their way back, because, you know, something held them back. And thanks to Sister Powell, who was still on from her journey. She's still holding up with her eight arms, her wings, thank God. And we just to have her, to hear her own, even though she's doing her work somewhere else. God be the glory for her. And we just want to ask the for prayer for Advent Light prayer line, all our help, and all those coming on and off, all those just sick, nursing home or wherever they may be, under the bridge somewhere. Just ask the Lord to put his arm around them, give all us a double portion of his love, and get us back to where we need to be so we can continue praying and sharing his love. And I just want to pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. And we want to thank Sister Tamika for that beautiful song, and Brother for that beautiful message we had last week, and Sister Stephanie. It was a wonderful message, and we're looking forward to one tonight. So we just want to thank everybody on that Advent prayer line who all of us put in a share, and that's what makes a family. Family prays together, stays together, and we're just looking forward to continue. May God bless each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Love y'all. Here you go, Brother John.
Amen. I salute to everyone. This is our Brother John from Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his many blessings and everything, and sheltering us from the storm. And I just want to say that I've been realizing more and more that the word of God is amazing. Because I was thinking how everything inspires another thing. Like, thank God for this prayer line, because, like, listening to this prayer line right here, learn, like we're learning to, inspires us to read the Bible more, and reading the Bible, it inspires us to do better as people. And then I notice being better as people inspires us to be nicer to people, and being nicer to people inspires us to smile more, and the list just goes on and on, you know. So the word of God is so amazing that one good thing leads to another good thing, and it continues to go on and on and on. So God, thank God for that. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Powell, I know you have a blessing to bless Brother John with that one. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Powell.
Okay, Brother John, God is good. God is great. He's worthy to be praised. Reading more and more about Jesus, he gave the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to go on and to shine that light to others. And it allows you day by day to be more happier, to be more at peace with others, to be more loving, as Sister Carla just read a while ago, to be kind to each other, and also to share God's goodness, God's mercies, God's blessing to those out there who do not know. So, Brother John, I am so excited. I am so joyful. I am so happy to know that you are growing daily in Christ. So we are asking you to continue to lift up the Lord wherever you go. And you know what? You will get the blessing. It's a blessing when you can do God's work, Brother John. So we are praying for you, and we know you are going to be one of the best evangelists out there to teach people about God. Thank you again, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for sharing.
Amen. 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 Brother John, Sister Power said it all, that Christ's character, you just keep doing what you're doing, and God will keep blessing you. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller, but we want to thank Sister Brenda, Brother John and Sister Brenda for them sharing, because I'm hearing from them every time that my sister and my brother-in-law is growing. So I just praise God for that. Thank you for coming on and share. And brothers and sisters, I want to welcome all once again, and I want to thank you all for coming on and sharing. Even remember, brothers and sisters, we have people overseas that are listening on here, and they are listening for testimonies like yours. They're listening to uplift their spirit and give them the joy of your blessing, because Christ has given it to you. He bless you today. We are alive, and we are able to be on here to say the goodness of God. He bless us to be here tonight. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, 518, and we're going to open the other lines, brothers and sisters. Just be patient, and God will able all lines to be open. And we open the next line, 518-744. Your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from.
You,
amen.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick. And I missed Sister Powell's testimony, and I'm sorry about that, Sister Powell. I, a young man, Elijah, who worked with me for the last two summers, just called me just before I was getting ready to get on the prayer line, and he was all excited to tell me about, he just started school down in Tennessee. They just moved from the William Miller farm down to Greenville, Tennessee, and telling me about what was going on there with his school and everything. So a little late coming on, I apologize for that, but God is good. He's helped Elijah and his parents and his sister get moved down there, and Elijah told me that the associate pastor from the church came to him, he'd never even met him before until this past week, and asked him if he would like to speak sometime for the church service. I've been praying for this young man because he is going to be a great worker for God. He said he was going to accept the invitation to speak, and continue to pray for Elijah that God will give him a word. He's only 15 years old, but his mom and dad have done a godly praying for him. And brothers and sisters, wow, what a testimony we have this past week. I told you about what was going on in our church. They had a a young man, 20-year-old man, a young man got up and spoke and started speaking about how Christ was created and the Holy Spirit is breath of Christ and these things, and really caused a stir in the church. And so the pastor was gone, so he had a little meeting with the pastor, and the pastor asked this young man not to do any more speaking until he could meet with him. They met this past Wednesday, Thursday, both, out, and brothers and sisters, a miracle has happened. In all the times that I've just possibly come into a church, never seen one person recant from this. And the pastor who, our pastor is from Russia, he dealt with this in Russia back in, starting in 2006, 2007, he told me. Then he moved to Hawaii, he dealt with it in Hawaii, and he's dealt with it in our sister churches here not far from us. And not one person has he ever seen has, you know, recanted teachings. Our young man Billy, yesterday, he apologized to the church, for bringing out these thoughts. Said he wants to study more with the pastor, and he would like to get back on the speaking schedule when it's prudent to let him back on. He has had a complete turnaround. I'm just praising the Lord because we had a lot of people praying for him. And like I say, we've never, all of our three elders, as well as their pastor, have never seen anybody come back from it. We're just grateful that he is listening to the Spirit. Spirit is able to reach him, bring him back out of the, he was from eternity and he will be through eternity. He is the divine Son of God, and you know what? We have a hard time explaining that, okay? How could somebody be there from forever? But you know what? He is God, and we are not. So pleased that as they did, that God's Spirit was moving. I also heard from my daughter, Ashley. I spoke to her on Messenger. He's doing well, and it was a little while. She is much, has changed completely now that she is there. She is much more respectful, not antagonistic. Praying for Ashley. Please pray for her and my daughter, Anita, who will be getting married here soon. I want to pray for my whole family. My wife. Wife is doing slightly better, but still having much problems with her back. Please pray for her. But Ashley messaged me, and I had quite a good crop of garlic. She told me that she was speaking to some of the girls down there that she's with, and they really wanted fresh garlic for the kitchen. So Ashley messaged me and asked me to send her down some garlic. Well, I'm cleaning my garlic right now so I can send her a box and see. They can have some fresh garlic out of the garden. I just thank the Lord for his goodness, mercy, and his love towards each one of us. Praising him, it was good to hear Brother John, Sister Brenda, praising the Lord and their testimony for me, and I will continue to pray for you. I won't take any more time, sisters. Go on. Thank you for your time. Just prayers for all the folks on the prayer line.
Amen. I think, Brother Rick, I think you're finished, right, because your phone was going in and out?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. 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 Well, I just want to thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing. And also, when you mentioned that young man, the what's his name, son that was on the William Miller Farm. I remember that young boy. He's 15. grown up. And just give God the praise that God is using that young man. I thank God for that. And also, when we own the prayer line Monday through Friday, we lift up Ashley and your wife and yourself. We lift those prayers up. We lift our brothers and sisters up on this prayer line because we come on at 8 o'clock every morning. And that's what we do. We lift up these prayers. And by God's grace, you know, everybody that's on here, we, your family, and we keep this in prayer. Sometimes Sister Power join us. But when she was here, Sister Power was the almost the person that hosted every morning because she'd be the one on here. And I'm just praising God for this Advent Light Ministry because this is a continual thing that we are always on here lifting up people in prayer, our families. If somebody lifting up my family or someone lifting up your family, we all lifting up one another. So I'm grateful to all my brothers and sisters. So thank you so much as we will pray, as we will be praying and later. But we're going to open the line for, I thought Brother Eli, okay, he's not on. She's not on yet, but he will come back on. But brothers and sisters, the line still, we still can open your line. You have time if you like to share. So we're asking you to press 1 and your line will be open. But as we was just speaking, for brothers and sisters, just remember your prayers is always being going up to God from your sisters and brothers. And even Brother Eli have us doing 7 songs and 7 prayers. So we be praying for you guys all the time. So by God's grace, you know, it is a blessing. And so, but we just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing. And we have a few more on here. If you desire to give God the praise, we're asking you to press 1 and let your testimony be heard and God get the glory. Amen. Is there anyone else? So as we are waiting, and we're going to open Brother Eli out, line up again, but he's not there. He haven't come in yet, but by God's grace, we just pray for him and open this line. So we're going to go into prayer and in the middle because Brother Akeem will not be on until about 8:25, so around that time. I spoke with him earlier. He's definitely coming on tonight, but by 8:25, 8:30, somewhere around that time. But in the meantime, we can be in prayer for one another. So we're going to start lifting up prayers for one another right now. And I'm going to open the line. I like to open the line for Sister Tamika, and she can start with a prayer. Let us ask her if she can begin with a prayer. Sister Tamika, is it okay? Would you like to pray? Or can you pray? You have time?
Yes, I have time, Sister Leola. Amen.
Amen. Well, amen. You can go ahead and pray, my sister.
Okay, thank you.
And
amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious day of life. We thank you for bringing us all together today that we can fellowship together, all of my precious brothers and sisters on this that prayer line. We thank you so much, Father God, that you woke us up in our right minds. We thank you so much that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you so much, Lord, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you so much that you said we are the apple of your eye. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the food on our tables, that we have food to eat every night. You said you will provide our every need according to your riches and your glory through Christ Jesus. And we're so grateful for your promises, Lord. We thank you for the clothes on our backs. We thank you for our homes that you provide shelter for us, a place to live in. We thank you for even our cars that you provide for us, because many don't have these things. A lot of people in the world are homeless, Father. So we thank you that you provide everything for us. We are so grateful for a precious and wonderful Father. that always protects us, that always gives us everything that we need. We are so grateful. Heavenly Father, we are lifting up prayer line this evening. Dear Lord, I lift up Sister Leola and her precious husband, Brother Ray. We lift up her precious Jews, Nicole and Jarvis. We lift up her grandchildren as well before your throne of grace. Give them a double portion of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you bless, guide, and keep them, Father God. Hold them close in the precious palm of your holy hand. Be with them, Lord. Strengthen them. Cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Because we know that the enemy is always walking about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. But we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So continue to bless Sister Leola and her precious family, Father God. And we'll be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory. Father God, we are also lifting up Mr. Powell, who is in Jamaica, dear Lord. We lift up Alex Nation, dear Lord. We lift them both up as they are in Jamaica, dear Lord. We lift up her ministry, that you will continue to bless, guide, and keep her, dear Lord. Bless her ministry. May it be a blessing to each and every soul and every person that is out in Jamaica, dear Lord. We thank you for what she's doing, a mighty work, Father God. She is your faithful servant. She continues to do your work, Father, and she's been doing this for many years. She sent out 40 barrels there to Jamaica to help them, dear Lord, with their every need that you have provided for them, Father God. So we are so grateful that everything is going well, and the home that Alex is building for the Williams family, it is coming along wonderful. It's on YouTube, dear Lord. We thank you for multiplying the donations, dear Lord, for blessing them abundantly, Father God. We are so grateful for everything, dear Lord. So continue to bless, guide, and keep them. Cover them all under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon swarm against them will prosper. We ask that the Holy Spirit fall afresh on Jamaica. Be with them. Strengthen them. Be their rock. Be their fortress. Be their strong tower. Be their hiding place, dear Lord, as we need you in these last days, now more than ever, as we behold the day drawing closer to its end. Father God, we lift them up, Father, and we love them. We continue to ask that you please be with them and strengthen them at all times. Father God, we also lifting up, we are also lifting up Brother Rick and his family. He spoke to his daughter Ashley today. What a blessing. We are praying for his wife, healing in her body. Father God, you are the God of healing. You are, dear Lord, the Alpha and the Omega. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. Dear Lord, you are Emmanuel. God is with us. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. So we know that you will be able to heal Brother Rick's wife and make her well again. If she could just touch the hem of your garment, she will be made whole. So please heal her. You are the great physician, Jesus. You are Dr. Jesus. You will heal her, make her well, heal every cell in her body, heal every organ in her body, Lord Jesus. We are asking because you said, ask and we shall receive. You said, knock and the door shall be open. You said, seek and you shall, and we shall find, Father. And you said, for everyone who asks, receives, and to he who knocks, finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be open. So, Father God, we're asking for healing in your precious daughter's body, that she will be made well. And, Father God, we will be sure to give you all praise and honor and glory, Lord, because you're so worthy to be praised. So we thank you in advance for what you're going to do for each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, we are also lifting up on your throne of grace, Sister Stephanie, and her precious jewels, KJ and Kasha. Continue to bless Sister Stephanie, dear Lord. May you open up doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open to help her to find, dear Lord, a wonderful teaching job that she is asking for, Father. We know that you will help her find the job that is just right for your precious daughter, Father God, because she loves you, Father God, and we know that you love her. Father God, you love all your children, so we know that you will make a way for her where there seems to be no way. We are so grateful for Sister Kasha. She got baptized on the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are so grateful. We know the angels are rejoicing in heaven for her beautiful daughter that was baptized. So continue to bless God and keep her, strengthen her, Father God. We ask that you hide her in the ark of safety. Hide her behind the cross of Calvary and hide her under the safety of your wings. Be with Sister Kasha, Father God. Bless her abundantly. We pray for her scholarship that she is asking for, Father God. Please continue to place a hedge of guardian angels of protection around her home and around her door and around her bedside to keep her safe from the enemy at all times, because we know the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come to give us life and give it more abundantly. So we thank you, Heavenly Father. We also are lifting up Sister Colin, her precious jewels as well. Nicholas and Amanda, continue to bless them, Father God. Strengthen them. Be with them, Father God, as we need you. They need you. We ask that you please walk with them along life's narrow ways, because we cannot bear these burdens alone. We need your strength, Father God, each and every minute, every hour, every second. We need you. So be with them. Bless God to keep them, and place a shield of guardian angels of protection around them as well in their homes. Place the blood of Jesus over their doorposts and over the window posts to keep them safe from the enemy, Father. We thank you so much for this precious family. And Heavenly Father, we also lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John and their beautiful grandchildren. We ask you that you place a hedge of guardian angels of protection around them. We need your protection, Father God, in these last days. Place the blood of Jesus over their doorposts and their window posts to keep them safe, Father God, that no harm will befall them. No harm will come near them, Father God, as you said in your word in Psalms 91, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So, Father God, we have your precious promises in Psalms 91. We know that your word never returns void. Father God, you are in control. You have the final say. So we are trusting in you, Father God. And if we're going out, dear Lord, may we always remember to put on the whole armor of God. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. In the name of Jesus, we put on the girdle of truth. In the name of Jesus, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, we put on the shoes of peace. In the name of Jesus, we take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. In the name of Jesus, we put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our minds focused on you at all times, so that Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. In the name of Jesus, we take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands so we can expose the tempting words of Satan. In the name of Jesus, your warriors and your soldiers, we have put on the whole armor of God, and we are all prepared to live this new day and this new year in spiritual victory. So we thank you, Father God, for the armor, as it protects us from the enemy when he is trying to attack us, and we need it now more than ever, Father God, because it says in your word in Book of Revelations 12:12, woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down in great wrath and great anger, knowing that he has a short period of time. So be with us, Father. Cover us, dear Lord. Cover us all. I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person on this prayer line tonight to safeguard and protect us from the enemy. And keep us close, Lord. Hold us all in the precious palm of your holy hands close to your bosom. Father God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do for each and every one of us tonight. We love you, Lord, and we leave now in your precious care and keeping, with praise and thanksgiving on our lips. In the precious and mighty name of King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, Sister Tamika, for the prayer, lifting up so many, so many. We have a few more that we have to lift up on the prayer line, because God knows the sisters and brothers. So we're going to ask Sister Powell to lift up some names on the prayer line. Sister Power, we're going to ask you to lift up some names. Sister Katie, you know Sister Katie and her kids. And Sister LaCole, she's here on the prayer line. Lift up Brother Eli. I've been waiting for him to come back on. And you know what? We're asking to lift up Brother Udy on the prayer line. Just lift him up for us. Amen. Sister Powell,
amen.
You there?
Amen. All right, amen. My dear. Let's continue a little. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come to you boldly at the throne to give you thanks and praise for all the blessings. Heavenly Father, you have heard the request. You are in the most holy sanctuary, and there were requests of everyone, dear Lord. So we come boldly to the throne adding a little addition there on the, some other names there, Lord. But we are asking you, please, Father, search us. See if there is anything within us, Lord, that should not be. Remove it, because, Lord, our prayer, we are asking you to hear and to answer them according to your will. So, dear Father, we lift up to you our dear sister Nicole. Father, you know everything, and the work that she has been doing, especially in the church, Lord, and also the work that she's doing with her student and the school and study, and also the work that she has been doing, Lord, to raise that young lady, her daughter, dear Lord, and also her nieces and her nephew and all the other students, dear Father, who attacked her. So we ask you to give her the strength and ask you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Lord, at this time. And also allow her, dear Lord, to continue to search the scripture for her guide, and that she will know that the truth in your words will help her, Lord, to develop her character like you. So we leave her in your care, Lord. We also ask you, dear Father, today, Lord, to as we lift up Jarvis, Lord, you know everything about Jarvis. But, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your love that you have extended on Jarvis out there, for your protection that you have been protecting Jarvis out there, and for your kindness, Lord, towards each other, Lord, with his peers out there. We want to give you thanks, because we know Jarvis alone could not handle the situation and the crisis that he's facing out there. We know it's the angel protecting him. So we just want to say thank you. As we lift up Brother Eli to you tonight, Father, we have not heard from Brother Eli on the line, but we know his spirit, Lord, is all around. And we know, dear Father, he loves you. And as he lifts up all these names, his mother, himself, Jahari, Javel, Jamar, Pascal, Lord, and the whole prayer line, Lord, every name that was mentioned a while ago, he is lifting them up to you. And, Father, we come because you know the need of each one of us, dear Lord. But what we need now, dear Father, is to have a personal relationship with you. So we ask you, Father, for strength for all those who, dear God, is praying for. As we lift up those who are on the internet, dear Father, the Netherlands, Canada, United States, you are Australia, Jamaica, we lift them up to you, dear Lord. They have been following us from day one, and they are still listening to your word. So we ask you to send your angels to them so that they will study your work, seek you, and turn to you, dear Lord, and also to share on this line. So we give you all the praise. We also lift up to you, dear Father, oh God, the many, many brothers and sisters, Sister Cancinelli. We heard her, Lord, lost loved ones one after the other. And we are praying, Lord, for you to give her the strength and the comfort that she needs, and also her husband and her family members, Lord, may be planning to travel, dear Father, to put away the last of their family members who have departed from this world. Lord, we are asking you to give them traveling mercies and also provide for them their many needs, and also pour your blessings upon them and give your daughter the strength that she needs. And we just want to give you thanks, Lord, because we know you are going to take care of her. We also lift up Brother Yudi, Heavenly Father, and his family members. You know every one of them, the children, his wife, Lord, his grocery store, Lord, we place it in your hands. And Heavenly Father, whatsoever that you have to do, Lord, to draw us closer to you, we are asking you to do it. Some of us have to go through the fire. Some of us have to go through the water. Some of us have to go down in the valley. But whatsoever you see it's for us, Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, that we will understand that you love us with an everlasting life and you promise that you will be with us. Father, we come to you this moment again, Father, pleading for Advent light. Teach us, Lord Jesus, your way. Teach us your part. Teach us, Lord Jesus, though that we will be representative for you to go out and share your gospel message to those who we come contact with. And tonight, Lord, we just want to say thank you for this great opportunity that you gave unto every one of us who is on this line. Sister Barnaby, we lift up. Brother O'Neill, we lift up. Brother Bernard, we lift up. Brother Ricardo, we lift up. We lift up our speaker, Brother Akeem James, and also his mother. We lift up his father. We lift up his congregation. We lift up his other young brethren that he is working with, Lord. And allow us, Lord, all to be ready to listen to the word. And let us know, dear Father, that this message will be coming straight from you, from heaven. Bless and keep, guide and protect. And if there is any other names that we leave out, Lord, where there are many, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, our pastors, our leaders, Lord, we lift them up to you. Now, dear Lord, as we present all these requests, and you are in the most holy sanctuary in heaven, investigating judgment, Lord, upon each name, we are asking you, Lord, let your will be done. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer. In Jesus' loving name, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, Brother Eli, Brother Akeem is on. But I want to lift up just three names. Sister Tamika, Sister Katie, and the lady that Sister Power said that knows about the Sabbath. So our Father, once again, Father, as we linger a little longer, Father, we come lifting up just a few more names, Lord, to you. Not that names and all this, but, Lord, it's just when we say names and in the last prayer, Father, I'm the host. I want to lift these few names up to you, Father. Sister Katie, Lord, Father, you know her desire. Her desire is to save her son and to save her grandchildren, Father. She prayed for them often. She bring them to you in prayer, Father, asking that you please strengthen them, lead and guide them, Father, the way that they need to go, Father. So please strengthen them and help them, Lord, Father, to know you. And, Father, we also lift up that lady, Lord, Sister Power there in Jamaica. Father, we ask that you would help her in her heart to know, if she know about your Sabbath, because you say to know to do good and do it not to you is sin. So, Lord, I'm asking you to strengthen that lady. I'm asking you to give her wisdom that she will seek you out and she will know you. So, Father, thank you. And now, Lord, we also lift up there was one other, Sister Tanico. She prayed for others. But, Lord, we will lift her up to you. Lord, as you continue to bless each and every one of us, Lord, as she prayed for everyone, we lift her up to you too, Father, her family and her children and all, Father. We just thank you for all the prayers that has been prayed for. Lord, as you heard each prayer, Father, we ask that you please tuggle on our heart and pass us not by, but as you look at each heart, Father, we ask that you would please help us, Help us to be aware and attentive to your grace, your mercy. When you call upon us, let us hear as Samuel and Eli, they all say, Lord, here am I. Help us to know you. Help us to study and to love you, Father, as we should. We thank you, Father. And Lord, as Sister Power has prayed for Brother Akeem, bless this study, Lord. Bless this word tonight. Fill our heart, Lord, that we may get understanding. And we thank you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, we will open the line for Brother Akeem. It's our speaker for tonight. Amen. Give me just a second. Your line is open. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Yes, glad to be back on, and I pray in light of the message that we'll cover this evening, we'll be continuing on from last week, and just this understanding of the way God is calling us to live and how this will be accomplished at the end of time, ultimately going way, way into a situation where we would be prepared for what is coming. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to go to the book of Genesis. So as we go there, let's just have one more word of prayer. Father, illuminate our minds and guide us. And Lord, draw us ever closer to you, that we might be, that you might help us to be in a place that is most conducive to spiritual growth. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So last week, we saw that what God did in the beginning when it came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was he set man up in a garden to till that garden, to tend it. And ultimately, it was God's desire that man would even go beyond that garden. And I mean, that was the ultimate purpose of God, that man would start in the garden, but that he would ultimately go beyond the garden. The Garden of Eden would be man's home, Adam and Eve's home, but that ultimately Adam and Eve would be fruitful and multiply, and their descendants would fill the entire planet, as we see in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. So as we go to that chapters, those chapters, we see the reality of what God wanted. If we go back to verse 10, or actually verse 8, it says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So man's first home was a garden. It says here, and out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. Now, we read about that last week. But then, it says in verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So it wasn't only man's work to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, that is, to fill it, and also to subdue it, as you read in Genesis chapter 1. God called man to do that work in order that what he may replenish the earth, that is, fill the earth with humans. So the first two humans were to fill the entire world with humanity. And so as this happened, it wouldn't be just that man would live in the garden of Eden itself, but that the whole world would be tended in such a way that it would become like the Garden of Eden itself. And so, friends, that was God's ultimate plan, that the whole world would become like its prototype. And that was the Garden of Eden. But as always, God always starts somewhere. He starts somewhere and he spreads it out. until it has its full effect. The same thing with the children of Israel. Was it God's desire to ultimately save the entire world? Yes. But how was he going to give it? He was going to give all of mankind a specimen of what he desired for them to become. And how did he do that? He chose the humblest group of people on the earth, starting off with specific men, grew them ultimately into tribes, and ultimately into a millionfold, over a million that group grew into. And he wanted to use that group to what? To be a demonstration to the world of what he ultimately wanted the entire world to become. It is the same with the Garden of Eden. God desired that ultimately the entire world will be filled with his image. The entire world would be tended. The entire world would become like the garden. And this is where man lived. So ultimately, even though God cast out Adam and Eve out of the garden after they sinned, it was ultimately God's will that they go out of the garden anyway, except if sin were not in the picture, what would have happened? Man would have been able to go in and out of that garden freely. The sad reality, however, is in light of the fall of man, man will not be able to enter back into that garden until redemption story is complete, until the second coming. And so the redeemed will be able to enter back into it. However, it is not until the second coming and following that event. And so as we look at this now, what we're seeing is, wow, so God's design was ultimately that man might live in nature. Man might be surrounded by the beauty of nature. And we understood last week, one of the reasons for that is that as man lives within the jurisdiction of nature, it would change him. As he beholds the handiwork of God surrounding him, it would ultimately affect his character. We saw two things God gave man in the beginning that would help in developing his character. One was his diet, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29. And also the other was a home within nature itself. You remember, the entire world was a vast country. It was a vast place filled with a life that was teeming from it. With vegetation, surrounded by trees and hills and all of these things that were beautiful for the eyes to behold. And it was a revelation of the handiwork of God. So given a diet that would aid in man's strength and continue to strengthen him in capacity and vigor, especially the tree of life, and also to give, hold on one second, friends, to place man in a position where he could behold the beauty of nature so that his character would be changed as he beholds the Creator's glory and the very creation itself, right? And you guys have read that statement before in the book of Psalms, that the heavens declare the glory of God, right? It speaks to man of God's power and his handiwork. So this is what Adam and Eve were surrounded by. And ultimately, what God is trying to do in this generation is restore us to that very thing. I was looking, and one of the things I came to the realization of was, if you read throughout all of the scriptures, as you read the book of Genesis, I should say, it wasn't until Genesis chapter 4 that you find the mentioning of a place not necessarily connected to nature itself, or let me say it this way, a place that is not necessarily connected to the vast open fields of God's creation. And you find that in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and I'll just read from verse 15. This is after Cain kills his brother, and now God sets a mark on him. It says, "And the Lord said to Cain, therefore, whosoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. The Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any one finding him should kill him." Now look at what Cain does. It says, "Then Cain went out, he wandered out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And what did Cain do in Nod? And Cain knew his wife and conceived and bore Enoch. So on Cain's side, there's also an Enoch. And on Seth's side, there is also an Enoch. It says Cain knew his wife and she conceived and bore Enoch. And what happened? And he built a city, that is, Cain built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Do you see what happened here? So in other words, the city was created by a man. Now, it's not just because of that that cities are bad. It was created by a man who wandered away from the presence of God. But as you see the influence of the cities throughout Scripture, and even to the point of today, that the cities of the world, just I'm sure as it was with Cain and his descendants as they began to inhabit that city, the friends, you could be sure that it was filled with vice, because the father, the one who first murdered, was the one who ultimately inhabited that city. His character was rebellious and he wandered ultimately away from the presence of the Lord. So in that city, just like that city, all the cities afterward, we see throughout Scripture, many a times the most heinous things took place. And it's not that heinous things don't take place outside of the city, friends, for sure. But it is multiplied by hundreds as you enter into the cities of the world. And so that's the first city that was mentioned in Scripture, right? It says here, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch, right? So the name of that city was named after Cain's first son. Now, as this happens, what's the next city that we read of in Scripture? And it's very interesting. The first city that was built was connected to a man who was rebellious. The next city that's mentioned in Scripture, it's connected to an entire group of people who were rebellious against God and his design for mankind. And that is, friends, it comes right after. It's very interesting because after God purifies the world, friends, it was the descendants of Noah that ultimately built the city. After God purified the world because of its actions, because of its sin increasing, only evil within the imaginations of men, you would think that as the world begins again, as it starts over again with Noah and his family, that it would be completely different. But we know, according to the book of Genesis chapter 11, that it says here, now the whole world had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Similar language when we were reading just now about Cain. Then they said one to another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They, or the King James, would say thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, reaches the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now you go back into Scripture, and you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and you see that that was God's design for man, that man would be scattered all over the face of the earth. Why? So that his image would be everywhere. And as a result, the world would be in the way that that the Garden of Eden was. That was God's design. But we see here that after the flood, they wanted to operate in rebellion against that plan, against the plan of God. And so what did they say? They said, instead of decentralizing, let us centralize ourselves and build a what? Ultimately, what did they do? They rose up and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. And that whole city, so we're seeing here that that whole city was built around what? Rebellion. The genesis of it was rebellion against the very will of God. Friends, this is intense. So we see another city. First city was built by a rebellious man. Second city built by a rebellious people. The whole foundation of this, the building of the Tower of Babel, was rebellion itself. And then we see a type of the investigative judgment. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, indeed, the people are as one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down. And they're confused, their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So you see what happened? And then it says in verse 8, so, meaning in that way, the Lord scattered them abroad from there, from thence, across the face of the whole earth, right? So they stopped building as a result of that. So what are we seeing here? What we're seeing here is a powerful truth that God's will was still accomplished despite their rebellion. God came down. He saw what they were doing, meaning an investigation was done. In the light of that now happening, God executed judgment, confused their language. Hence, for the Jewish people from that time on, as the Jewish people came into being later on, every time they thought about Babel, it was always connected with the concept of confusion. Hence, later on, when in the very same place as Babel, Babylon was built, Babylon itself, to the Babylonian, the word meant gate to the gods. But to the Hebrew, Babylon connected to Babel, right, was connected with confusion. So as we look at this now, this is powerful because it is a revelation of what is taking place and what has taken place in many of the cities across time, that many times confusion has been the result. Now, hence, God calls us back to the very system that God placed Adam and Eve in. What did he do? He placed them in a garden, in nature. For what? For their cultivation, their capacity and vigor to increase. And so, what God is seeking to do ultimately in our experience is to do the very same, so that we are placed in a position where it is most conducive to the increasing of our capacity to learn and to grow and to develop mentally, spiritually, and physically. And also, our vigor will grow as we are placed in these places. I mean, it's not that man, of course, as man grows older, he declines in the context of a sinful world. But that can be slowed down if we are placed in the correct environment. Why, ultimately, why did God give Adam and Eve the correct diet and also place them in nature? Why? Because he wanted their characters to become like his own. And so in the same way, friends, what we see here is that when man wandered away from that plan, it was always with those who were rebellious. Those cities were formed by people who had rebelled against God and his plan, and it's similar to what we see in the cities of our world today. So even though this is why, even as I say this to you, this is why I live in a city today. I live in the city of Baltimore. But you better believe that I am planning and reading and studying and developing a plan ultimately to come out of such a place, that I can put myself in a position where my mind will better be able to grasp the things of God, where the character of God will develop in a better way than if I had continued to live in the city. So as I've been studying this, this is what I share with you. And so this is why we read, actually, this is very interesting in the spirit of prophecy, it brings this out. This can be found in Manuscript 50, page Manuscript 50, the year is 1903. Inspiration tells us, so this time has already come. The call that we are going to look at here from inspiration has already been made. The call is being made because this was God's original plan. It says the time has come when as God opens the way. Now, this is powerful because there is balance in the statement. It says the time has come when as God opens the way. When what? As God opens the way, families should move out of the cities. The children should be taken into where? Into nature, into the country. The parents should get as suitable a place as their means will allow. So notice the practicality. Though the dwelling may be small, yet there should be land in connection with it that they may be cultivated. So you see that? You see that? That's the same thing that Adam and Eve were doing. So even though, and it's interesting, we may, in the practicality of our context, of our time, and of the times when she wrote this statement, get a small home. The dwelling, the home may be small. Friends, it's very interesting because as you look back, God is, and that's to tell you how God shows us, yes, the principle still applies, and he adapts, he takes the same eternal principle and adapts it to the time that we're living in. So the principle remains unchanged, but it is brought into the context of our lives, right? Because Adam and Eve, friends, their dwelling was a garden. They didn't necessarily have a house. We have a house. And though it may be small, the plan is still the same. What is the plan? The plan is as we come more into connection with nature, that what would happen? We would then get land in connection with that house that we get, that small dwelling, whether it be big or small, as she said here, it may be small. Though the dwelling may be small, make sure to get land connected with that dwelling. For what purpose? That just as Adam and Eve tended to nature, they tended the garden that surrounded them, that we may do the same. Cultivation of the land itself, agriculture. And so, friends, this is powerful. So what are we learning from this statement? A few things. She says the time has come. Now, if the time came back in her day, for sure, it is applicable to our time. But notice the practicality. It says the time has come when as God opens the way. Do you see that? Family should move out of the cities. And the reason I emphasize that point is because you have many who emphasize country living today, but they emphasize it impractically. So not practically, but their methods are impractical. Why do I say that? Because they are telling people to just get up out of the blue and just leave immediately. Notice, while there is an urgency to the statements we are reading, there is also a practical side to it. As Jesus says, before a man endeavors to do something, he should do what? He should count the cost. In other words, you have people who are so zealous to get out into the country that they are not practical in their efforts. They haven't saved. They haven't even been dealing with their debt. And not saying that sometimes people won't move out to that to a country property and they won't have debt. They may very well have it. But are they working on getting rid of that? Are they working on also saving? Do they have the funds? Has God opened the way for them? A lot of these things aren't counted, and so here's what happens. People get all gung-ho. They hear these preachers telling them, you got to get out, you got to get out now. Zealous preachers, well-intentioned preachers, but impractical in their call. And so people, they leave, they get out. The first opportunity they think they're getting, they haven't planned for it systematically with time. And so what happens? They give the message to other people. They move out because of the messages they've been hearing. And then because they didn't count the cost, they run out of resources almost as immediately as they moved. And so what happens? Because they did not plan, they failed. And so what happens? Sooner or later, you see those same people coming right back into the city life. They come right back into the city. Why? Because they were not practical in their move. And friends, that comes a lot of times, and this is why I say to you, go back and look at these statements. This is why I'm saying to you, even check what I'm saying. Because a lot of times people are listening to ministers. They're not being Bereans. They take on the personality of these ministers. They take on the very mindset. They take the words without investigation, and so the result is they act upon what they heard, but they act upon it without wisdom. And so as a result, they have a zeal, but it is without knowledge. They move out, they get their place, they're all happy and everything, and then no sooner than they moved out do they have to move back in to the very city that they left or some other city. And friends, it brings shame to the cause of God. Because as urgent as inspiration was, it is also practical things that she lists so that we will be wise, so that it would not bring shame to the cause of God. You hear people saying today, we got to get out now. Sunday law is coming. Game is almost over. Now is the time. Indeed, now is the time. But friends, plan for it. Pray for it. And then as God opens the opportunity, friends, one of those ways is you have the resources. That's one of the signs, by the way. Notice what the statement says here. It says, though the dwelling may be small, actually before that, it says the parents should get as suitable a place as their, here it is, as their means, that's money, as their means will allow. So when you know you have the resources, though it may just be for something small, if you can get something small with a certain amount of land in connection with it, and you're seeing God leading you in this direction, then you say, okay, I would step out. But friends, plan for it. It's very interesting when you look at this concept of decentralization instead of centralizing. It says, because you see this in connection with the Battle Creek Sanitarium, there was a great centralization of many people in the work to that place. And this is actually a communication that was made. I'm going to read to you a statement here of a communication that was made during that time in 1893, a communication written in December 22, 1893, in response to a letter from a leading worker in Battle Creek, informing Mrs. White, that in response to the admonition that our people should move out of Battle Creek, between 1 and 200 were preparing to leave as soon as possible. Now listen to what she says here. This is powerful because it is a powerful thing. They were moving out. Many of them were going into country properties. They were trying to do that. But they were doing it not in a practical way. Some of them, they were also going out to start other sanitariums. Because in country areas and with country property, but they hadn't done the necessary preparation for it. And so listen to what she says. Listen to what she states. Your letter tells me, my brother, that there are many who are stirred deeply to move out of Battle Creek. Answer, there is need, great need of this work being done, and now. So there's an urgency. But here's the catch. Those who have felt at last to make a move, she says, let it not be in a rush, in an excitement, in a rash manner, or in a way that hereafter, listen to this, they will deeply regret that they did move out. So you see, the call is to move out. But many times people make these blunders because they didn't plan, and they're thinking, well, wow, as they look back and regret, they think, maybe it wasn't the Lord's will that I move out. Why did I do it? But it was the Lord's will. But the reason that they felt that way, they may feel that way afterwards, is because, not because God didn't call them out, but because of the way in which they came out and started different sanitariums. Two of the men that did this work, and God blessed them greatly because they planned. They prayed, and also they received counsel from Sister White, was E.A. Sutherland and also Percy McGann. Percy McGann, these two men, a powerful book I just read a few months ago called Madison. These two men went off and they started later on in their lives, I should say. They ultimately, not later on, I should say, this was in their 40s that these things were done. Late 30s, 40s. These men ultimately went forth and in faith found a piece of land at Ellen White's council. They were reluctant at first because of how the land looked, but God showed her that this is the place. They got it and ultimately started off what we remember today as Madison, the Madison School, and connected to it was a sanitarium. Powerful, as time went on, it became a powerful instrument for the gospel as time went on. But these men were not rash. The statement continues. It says, take heed that there shall be no rash movements made in heeding the counsel and moving from Battle Creek. Do nothing without seeking wisdom of God, who hath promised to give liberally to all who ask, and who abradeth not. All that anyone can do is to advise and counsel, and then leave those who are convicted in regard to duty to move under divine guidance, and with their whole hearts open to learn and obey God. So this is very deep. So what we're seeing here is that, yes, the call of God is to get out of the cities. But the reason I'm touching on this is because God wants us to do it in wisdom. God wants us to plan. God does not want us to have a zeal without knowledge, not to make rash movements, but to count the cost, to be in prayer. And notice, it's powerful to still be in prayer even though you know it's God's will. Why? Because if you're not in prayer, you can make rash movements. If you're not saving up and planning and setting aside funds for that work to be done, and not just for it to be done, but for it to be sustained and grow. And this is why it's one of the powerful things that she says, that each person should cultivate the land. Why? Because out of that land, what would happen? Out of that land, we would receive the resources to not only sustain ourselves, but out of that land, we could also receive resources to sell to others that we can continue sustaining ourselves and continue to build. Because the powerful thing that God is calling his people to is leadership, which is at times different from management. It is one thing to manage something, meaning to sustain it. It is another thing altogether to take it to another level. That's leadership. And what God is calling for today is not just people who can sustain, but people who can also build. Not just one, but the other. And so what does it take in order to build? It takes planning. It takes wisdom. It takes guidance. And so my prayer for us today is that we would have that, because I know that there are many of us who are desiring to take that step, to go back to the ideal as it was in the beginning, when God placed man in a garden to cultivate not just the garden, but ultimately as man would replenish the earth, to cultivate the world itself until it became like the very garden that man was first placed in. That's what God's will was for Adam and Eve. That's what God's will is for us today. And that's what God's will be in the new earth. That's why we read in the book of Isaiah that God will give man not only a city home in the New Jerusalem, but he will give us a home on the new earth where we can build and have our own homes in the new earth. Friends, that is powerful. But friends, we begin to taste it here. It is still God's plan that we begin to experience that understanding here. It is the very same thing that happened with Jesus in his own life. So as God sent Jesus to the world and he was growing up, listen to this statement, it's powerful. It states in Desire of Ages, page 89, paragraph 6. It says, from the time when the parents of Jesus found him in the temple, his course of action was a mystery to them. He would not enter into controversy, yet his example was a constant lesson. Now, this is powerful. How did Jesus learn and become who he became? It says he seemed as one who was set apart. His hours of happiness, listen to this, were found in when alone with nature and with God. Whenever it was his privilege, he turned aside from the scene of his labors. So notice that, whenever it was his privilege. So he didn't just drop his work. Whenever the time happened, he turned aside from the scene of labor to go into the fields, to meditate in the green valleys, to hold communion with God on the mountainside, or amid the trees of the forest. And this is where, friends, as you read the Zohar of Ages, as you read the scriptures, you realize that while Jesus lived in a village, while there was a town that he lived in, that town had a lot of land. It was basically in the country. And so hence he could go on the mountainside or amid the trees of the forest. The early morning often found him in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scriptures, or in prayer. From these quiet hours, he would return to his home to take up his duties and to give an example of patient toil. So from nature, from the word of God, from prayer, from meditation on that word, what happened? He left that place imbued with power to now work in ministering to the souls of men in patience. That's powerful, friends. So what we're seeing here as we close, at least for this evening, is the understanding that the same thing that God did for Adam and Eve by placing them in nature, giving them they had their own dwelling place probably among the trees itself, the plants, they formed their own dwelling, and God placed them in a dwelling in a garden. And they developed that garden. Ultimately, God's purpose was for them to replenish the earth so that the whole world would become as that garden, tended by the descendants of Adam and Eve. And in the same way, even though man is now fallen, God desires the same thing. That mankind, that God, and with his people being the example to mankind, that his people would now also move into nature, into the very midst of nature, having a small, even if it is small, it would be different sizes for different people depending on their means, as we just read. But it must always be, one of the criterion among many others, is that it must be connected to a plot of land that we can cultivate and develop and sustain ourselves with. Friends, this is powerful work. It is hard work, but it is powerful work. As we do this work, friends, it will be more conducive to spiritual growth, to the development of our mental capacity and our vigor, so that we can be more effective witnesses as we come forth from there to witness to the world. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that you will continue to illuminate our minds and strengthen us and help us to live out these very principles, Lord. Give us the strength, the perseverance, and the practicality to not move rashly, but to move in wisdom. So, Lord, the work will suffer no shame because of our impracticality, but rather the people of the world will see that these people are practical. They are wise. They have resources, and they are using them well, not just managing them, but building upon what they have. Father, do this work in us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Brother Akeem, we want to thank you so much because we hear all the time, get out, get out. Sisters and brothers, it's a scare tactic, I believe. And yes, you kind of calmed a lot of us down, although my husband wasn't a person to move. But I was wanting to move. Boo, let's go. But my husband said, no, 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 no. But you give me a calm because, and I always look at places where people did not count the cost. I see they build a church or they build a building and they didn't count the cost at the end. Now the building is left open to weather, damaging the building, and it's unfinished. And I don't want to be left like that. So I'm so grateful to be on the prayer line to hear things that need to be heard. And I'm sure my brothers and sisters appreciate that because all this scare tactic is get out, get out. Oh, no food. You're going to have to plant your garden. It's so many things. But you know what? I know Sister Powell used to always say, God has a time, and it's not about just get out and rush out and don't have a plan. She used to say it a lot. And I believe she I don't know, she's gone now, but she used to say it, Sister Leola, I'm not rushing. I'm not just moving and going into a country with nothing to do. And so, you know, it's a blessing, brother. Thank you for bringing this to the prayer line. And as my husband and I were both listening, he said, now that's what the speaking, that's what we should be teaching, how we should teach people. So he appreciated what he heard tonight. And and I know my brothers and sisters appreciate it also. But we won't keep you. But we thank you for sharing that on this line with us tonight. And I just want to tell my brothers and sisters from out of the country, which is Canada, Japan, the Netherlands, all over the world that's be on this prayer line, be patient, let God, and as brother said, let us pray and for God to guide us. Amen. So thank you, brothers and sisters, for coming on and being here with us tonight. May God bless you and keep you. And I'm just going to close out with a song, Lead Me to Calvary. Amen.